Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the marriage program on Radio Islam International on this Saturday morning, the 5th of August. Lots to look forward to in this edition of the marriage program. We'll be starting with a recap of the nikah announcements. Thereafter, we continue our discussion on the five love languages, and in the previous 2 weeks we've touched on giving gifts, speaking words of affirmation, and this week we look at the third love language, which is physical touch. So looking at that a bit later as well. 100 small things to make someone feel loved, and in the last segment of the program we will be joined by Muallima Abida Peer. In the last few weeks we have been speaking about communication, or how you should communicate to someone when they are when you are going through a tough time, and also what you should avoid doing, and the habits that we build about keeping score and so forth. That was discussed last week. This week we look at, you know, how to argue and not fight. That there are times when we are going to disagree with one another, but how do we, you know, resolve, and how do we look at that without really fighting one another? So that is coming up later with Muallima Abida Peer. Firstly, we look at the nikah announcements for this weekend. We begin with the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'linu nikaha waj'aluhu fil masajid. Announce the nikah and perform them in the masjids. The nikah of Nazir Hajari, the son of Hafiz Sulaiman and Khadija of Stanga, to Alayka Rajab, the daughter of Jabbar and Shamira of Raisthorpe in Pietermaritzburg. This nikah taking place later today after Maghrib Salah at the Raisthorpe Masjid in Pietermaritzburg. The nikah of Faraz Jada, the son of Farid and Farida of Rabicham, to Atiya Kara, the daughter of Muhammad and Yasmin, also of Rabicham. This nikah taking place today after Asr Salah. The venue is the Rabicham Masjid. That is the nikah of Faraz Jada to Atiya Kara. Nikah taking place after Asr at the Rabicham Masjid. The nikah of Muhammad Bismillah, the son of Faisal and Razia of Mayfair, to Faria Dokrat, the daughter of Yusuf and Fatima of Lanesia. This nikah taking place on the later today after Maghrib Salah. The venue is Shanul Islam Masjid. That is the nikah of Muhammad Bismillah to Faria Dokrat. The nikah taking place after Maghrib Salah at Shanul Islam Masjid. And the nikah of Malana Tariq Terezo, the son of Abdullah and Sabina Terezo of Lanesia, to Yumna Muhammad, the daughter of Yasin and Tasneem Muhammad of Lanesia South. Nikah taking place after Dhuhr Salah. The venue is Masjid Abu Bakr in Lanesia South. And the nikah of Ibrahim Esak, the son of Suleiman and Fazila of Crosby, to Nabila Ismail Kara, the daughter of Hussein and Aisha Bibi Ismail Kara of Crosby. This nikah taking place tomorrow, the 6th of August at 11:30 a.m. The venue is Usambara. The nikah of Reis Mullah, the son of Ahmed and Suraya of Lanesia, to Benazir Osman, the daughter of Shiraz and Hamida. The daughter of Shiraz and Hamida of Rustenburg. This nikah taking place tomorrow, the 6th of August. The time is 11:30 a.m. And this nikah will be taking place at the Waterfall Jamaat Khana. That is the nikah of Reis Mullah to Benazir Osman. Nikah taking place tomorrow at 11:30 a.m. at the Waterfall Jamaat Khana. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah fill their marriages with happiness, with barakah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them pious offspring. 12 minutes past the hour of 10, we take a short break. When we come back, we are discussing the five love languages. Okay, we are discussing the five love languages here on the marriage program on Radio Islam International. And, you know, keeping that emotional love alive in the marriage makes life much more enjoyable. So how do we keep this alive? What is it that we should do? We should learn and learn to speak one another's love language. So this book that has been titled The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts, in it they explain that there are five love languages. One is that of giving gifts, hearing and speaking words of affirmation, engaging in physical touch, doing acts of service, and spending quality time. And while a person will respond to all five of these languages, every person has one or two that are their primary languages. So as a spouse, it is upon us now to understand that does my husband or does my wife, which one does she respond to or which one does he respond to best, and then to maximize and take advantage of that. So previously we've spoken about giving gifts, that we shouldn't reserve it for the special occasions or just limit it to those special occasions, but rather just to give a person a gift just because, you know, just as a simple token of that I was thinking about you, or this is something that I really wanted to give you or buy for you. And some people respond best to this, yeah. Others is speaking words of affirmation. And this is very simple to implement. That just learning to say words like I love you or thank you or appreciating, showing love verbally to your spouse, backing it up with the actions, and as well as, you know, going that little extra mile, you know, not only telling them that you love them, but also explaining to them why you love them. So a person whose primary love language is words of affirmation will best respond to this. So today we focus on the third love language, and that is physical touch. So when we hear this, we might think that, you know what, physical touch is primarily carnal, but we take into consideration there are other ways that you could be romantic with your spouse, like, you know, just a simple gesture like holding their hand or rubbing the neck or the back or the shoulders, or, you know, these are simple ways to show your spouse that how much he or she means to you. So physical touch in a marital relationship, it can make it or it can break it. So we need to learn how to speak this language as well. If your spouse's primary love language is physical touch, nothing is more important to you than having this sort of relationship with them. They might, like we said, you might give them gifts, you might give them words of affirmation, you might spend quality time with them, but nothing will communicate better with them like that of physical touch. And as always, you know, when it comes to it, what does it mean? It's just a simple thing like, you know, just giving a hug before you leave the house, or before you go shopping, or just a simple kiss before you leave for work, or before you leave the house. These are small things that will really be, you know, appreciated by your spouse if their primary love language is physical touch. And things like this, you know, we might look and think that, you know, it's something small, it's something that we don't even take into consideration at times, but a simple thing like a hug, you know, it's sometimes all a person needs. That what does it do when you give someone a hug? What are you communicating to that person? That you're letting others know that, you know what, you are important to me and I am here for you. And that is why when you find that whenever you're going through some crisis or some sort of sadness, or if you are going through some difficulty, then we hug one another. That if someone is going through a difficult part in their life, or if they've lost someone, the first thing that we'll do is to hug them. So during these times, we need to feel loved more than anything. And in marriages, you'll find that now and then there will be a crisis that would go through, or there'll be a disappointment in your wife's life or in your husband's life. There will be something that is not going right. So the most important thing that you can do at that time, you know, it's just to love them in this way. And especially if their primary love language is physical touch, just holding them or giving them that shoulder to cry on or hugging them, all of this, here, you'll find that it could mean a lot to them. And we take our lessons and we take, you know, the life of example of living with one spouse from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And you'll find that in the relationship that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had with his spouses, you will find examples like this as well, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do or would engage in these small gestures with his with the beloved wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he understood that this is also important. You'll find that there is a narration which Aisha radiallahu anha would say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would sometimes lie on my lap. He would place his head on my lap, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would then recite the Quran in this manner. So how many times have we done this? How many times have we showed this sort of physical touch to our spouse? They might seem trivial, you know, they might seem small, they might seem insignificant, but these are the type of actions that really bring the hearts close, you know, that the spouse can then sense that there's love between one another when they do some of these actions like this. And like another example that we look in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you'll find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a narration that Aisha radiallahu anha would comb the hair of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is how close that they would be, that you know, even the smaller actions, they would be doing it for one another, and they would be doing it together. And there's even a narration that comes that Aisha radiallahu anha says that anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yuqabbiluha wa huwa sa'im, that even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would kiss Aisha radiallahu anha even when he was in even when he was fasting. So we won't go into the fiqh masail of it, if a person may or if he is allowed to kiss his wife while he's fasting, but just things like this, that it shows that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had this sort of relationship with his spouses. So, you know, compliment your spouse often with kisses, you know, when exiting the house, you know, make it a habit. Really make it a habit that you leave by coming into contact with your spouse. That when you leave, you make contact with your spouse. When you come in, even though you've had a very difficult day, you see it seems like, you know, the whole world is against you. But when you come into that house, you know, just put that smile up and make the first thing that you have that contact with your spouse. Show them that how much you've missed them, that you weren't together with them for the duration of the day and you've really missed them. Even when they are maybe working or when they are busy with the household chores, you know, surprise them with a hug, surprise them with a kiss. You'll find that this will help in building a very strong relationship. So these are ways of showing your love, you know, and this sort of love is the fuel that every marriage needs. So if you desire for your marriage to progress, to go forward, to build on this relationship, you have to express your love in every way you can, and you have to learn this, that which love language does my spouse appreciate the most, and then take advantage of that. It's very important that this physical relationship in the marriage are very important. That the famous quote that everyone says, that action speaks louder than words. So you got to show that your spouse as well, that you love them with your actions. And you should make a note of this as well and keep it, you know, a mental note of it. How many times am I hugging my spouse? How many times am I kissing them during the day? All of this here should be there, and you should be doing it, especially if their primary love language is physical touch. So that is the third language, the third love language that we speak about this morning. Inshallah, in the coming weeks, we will continue with this discussion, looking at the fourth and the fifth point of this love language. And the two that remain is that doing acts of khidmah, doing acts of service, and spending quality time. So 25 minutes past the hour of 10 on the marriage program. With that, we come to the end of the first segment. We now take, before we do go for the break, it's time for our new segment, the 100 ways to make someone feel loved.
100 ways to feel loved.
Right, every week we give 1 point, just 1 point for us to practice upon, just to make our spouse feel loved. Last week we were speaking about, you know, tell them how special they are to you. This, you know, goes beyond saying I love you. Today's one is that tell them frequently how much you appreciate it when they do things for you. Tell them frequently how much you appreciate it when they do things for you. We often get used to how much our spouse or our partners do for us, and we tend to forget how much easier they make our lives. That once you live for a longer period of time together with one another, it sort of becomes a habit. Okay, my husband has to do this, my wife has to do this, or it becomes part of the routine, part of the habit. But frequently, show them your appreciation. Show them that you are thankful for what they are doing, and you recognize the efforts that they are doing. This will surely make them feel loved. 26 minutes past the hour of 10. Before we do take a short break, we will be joined by, after the short break, we will be joined by Muallima Abida Peer. And in the last few weeks, we've been speaking a lot about communication, that how to get through to your spouse when things are going tough. What are the toxic or the habits that we should avoid in any relationship? What is it we shouldn't be doing, keeping score, that showing that I will win this argument? These are things that we shouldn't be doing. So we'll be joined by Muallima shortly. Also, you can interact with us. The WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. Any sort of advice that a person might need, or any challenge that they are facing, inshallah, we will share it with Muallima. As we know, Muallima has a lot of experience when it comes to dealing with marital issues. She's helped many couples, and as well as done many workshops in South Africa as well. So 072-786-1548, or you can SMS us 48855. Even if you'd like to call in on 011-854-1548, we will pass on the message to Muallima, and then Muallima will respond in the best manner that is possible. 27 minutes past the hour of 10, we take a short break. When we come back, we are speaking to Muallima Abida Peer. Yes, welcome back to the Marriage Program here on Radio Islam International, and we are joined by Muallima Abida Peer on the line. Muallima, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and once again, jazakumullahu khairan for joining us on the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakallah khair, Mulana, for having me on your program.
Yes, Muallima, I see that in the coming few days there will be quite a few workshops that Muallima will be conducting together with Darul Ihsan. I see there's one here in Crown Gardens taking place on Tuesday, and there's pre-marriage workshops also taking place in this coming week, Muallima.
We have a marriage workshop that is for ladies on Tuesday in Crown Mines, as Mulana has mentioned, and then we have a premarital workshop on Thursday, inshallah. That is at Madrasa Salihat, also in the Crown Mines area, and then from there we go to Newcastle. So Saturday in Newcastle we have a full day marital workshop. That's Saturday, and on Sunday we have a half day premarital workshop for unmarried ladies. Then on Monday we have two programs in Ladysmith. One is a marital in the morning and premarital in the afternoon. And on Tuesday we have a marital program or premarital program in ISCO, inshallah.
Inshallah, we hope that all of those workshops and pre-marriage workshops go well. Muallima, that in the last few weeks we have been discussing with regards to communication, how to communicate when you're with your spouse when things are going tough, as well as the habits that we shouldn't bring into our relationship when it comes to communication. And this week we look at, arguing rather than fighting. So in a marriage that two people living together in any relationship, especially in an intimate one, they not always see things the same way, and at some point they will have to resolve their differences. But when it comes to this, there is certainly a right way and a wrong way to go about it. You see, sometimes what happens is the fight, the couples will fight in a very powerful manner, in a very heated manner, and name calling, character assassinations, dig up past and unresolved conflicts, and these are not really very healthy for a relationship. There will be disagreements, there will be times when you have to discuss things, but there's a right way and there's a wrong way of doing it. And before you know it, when we look it back into the past and we bring up past, or we start calling, or character assassination explanation that you like this and you always do that. This is not very healthy for a relationship. So when it comes to things that you disagree with your spouse, the first step is really to understand what is happening and really just identify your feelings. And then never go into any argument or never go into any disagreement with anger when your temper is on the rise, because that is just going to lead to a very dangerous situation. So we should be able to, you know, first get that anger in control, get our emotions in control, and try to understand that what is it that we want from this argument, whether it be about family outings or something in the house. The first step is understanding your emotions and not going into this argument when things are very heated and when you have a temper and you're feeling very angry, Mualima.
Murana, I think the first thing that we need to understand, as couples, is that we are not enemies to start off with. We are a couple, you know, we are in a partnership, we are friends, we are soulmates, we are lovers. That is what we are. You know, what happens is that within our mindsets, because of everything that happens in our daily lives, and yes, all the irritants and all the upsets and the traumas that we go through, we have this perception in our mind. You know, we say, my husband or my wife, she makes me sick, or, you know, I can't stand this person, or they're irritating, or they're like this, or they're like that. So we have a build-up of all of these negative thoughts. And then we come to see this person. Now, remember, our thoughts are going to affect our feelings and our emotions. And so when we have these negative thoughts, when we're having a disagreement, all of that negativity is going to come up. So if we can start off by just, you know, saying, this is my partner, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen this person for me. This person has been put into my life, and I've been put into their life for a reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And when we start seeing this relationship as a divine relationship, as something very, very special, and that each one has a contribution to make. Now, what happens is that we're always looking to what the other person is doing or not doing in terms of the relationship. We don't really focus on ourselves. And this is, you know, where we should really, you know, make that effort is focus on ourselves. What do I have to do to make this relationship good? And with that is that see the partner, see my husband or my wife as the person whom I love, see the person you know, as my life partner, see the person as the parent of my kid. And yes, how do I have to deal with this person? Because what happens when we have all the negative thoughts in our mind, and with that negativity, what is it? You know, there's a lot of anger and hurt and because anger also, if we look at it, when we become angry, and sometimes we become angry over minor things. But the anger is actually a manifestation of a deeper hurt that we are feeling of past events, because we haven't dealt with it and we haven't let it go. So then when something comes up, what happens is that we bring up that hurt again and we bring that anger, and we don't control the way we deal with our partner then. So it becomes a fight. Instead of it becoming just an argument or a discussion about something, it becomes a fight. Now, again, we have to change that mindset. And, you know, at the end of the day, if we want to make changes in our lives, we can't make changes within a vacuum. We have to say, okay, there always has to be a higher purpose. Because when we make these changes and we just say, okay, I'm making the niya now. Today I'm going to make the niya. I don't want to fight with my husband. I don't want there to be, if we're going to have disagreements, that's there. It will be there. But we don't want to create discord in the home. We want to have a peaceful, happy environment. You know, inshallah, I'm going to try. Forget about my other half. But I'm going to try to deal with this, you know, in a calm, rational, sensible manner that is going to be pleasing to Allah. And we make that near. And we make that near, again, this is very important, for the pleasure of Allah. So we're not doing it for ourselves, we're not doing it for our spouse, we're not doing it for our children, but we're doing it for the pleasure of Allah. And when we have that mindset, then it's going to become easier, because now we have a higher purpose and a higher goal. And then it's going to be easier for us to be able to control ourselves. So yes, we get upset. Now what happens when we are upset? The first response is to just strike out, to just respond to what has been said. And to also just, you know, take out this anger and frustration that we're feeling. But again, you know, subhanAllah, again, our deen, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spoke us about how to deal with anger. So, you know, what we should really do is that we should take a few deep breaths, you know, and calm ourselves down, calm your body, calm your mind, breathe deeply, read ta'awuz, recite Durood Sharif, and then respond. If we can just pause at that moment, instead of just responding, we have a complaint about something, and so before we have to say anything, you know, I sometimes advise people, particularly when I deal with the ladies, and they have a major issue which they need to discuss with their husband. Sometimes it's things of a very sensitive nature. Sometimes it's things of, you know, critical nature within the marriage. And I always advise them. I said, before you go and speak to your husband, go and make wudu, read 2 rakat salatul hajj, and you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide your words, to help you to say the right things, to calm you down. So that 2 rakat of salah is going to calm you down, first of all. You sitting there, you make dua to Allah. Allah knows that you want to resolve the issues in your marriage, and then you go and then you speak to your husband in a calm, rational way. But when we go in there with anger and hurt and everything, we are bound to say the wrong thing. So it's always good for us to pause and to assess the situation, you know, what is really happening. Sometimes we also need to place ourselves in the shoes of the other person. You know, sometimes we make accusations, we say things, something to our mind doesn't seem right. And so instead of asking in a very nice way, what is really happening, you know, I'm confused about this, so this doesn't quite make sense to me. Do you mind explaining to me? Imagine the difference, you know, if a woman says, you never do this, or you always do this, or why are you doing this? Why are you coming home late every day? As opposed to say, you know, I miss the fact that you don't come home early anymore. You know, what's happening? You know, is there a reason why? Are you working late? Are you stressed at work? What is the situation? We don't know. Instead of just going in there, because we have a whole lot of negative thoughts that mulling in the mind, and so we just blurt out the wrong thing. But if we are calm about it, and we are asking in a very nice way, we are asking, we are not demanding, and we are not making accusations, and we are not criticizing, because this again is very important. Is that usually when things come out, when we're saying things with hurt and anger, then we are criticizing and we are belittling the other person, and so then immediately it puts the other person on the defensive. They are on the defensive, and they are going to then retaliate. And that's how you that's how fight starts. Because now we're in discussion anymore. We're not even in an argument anymore. Now we're in a fight. So you have two people with their backs up, and they are going to go for each other.
Yes.
And that is a dangerous situation. And this again, you know, we are creatures of habit. And if we don't change this, then this becomes the way in which the habit. Because, you know, sometimes we wonder, how is it that relationships break down? How do we reach that point where the couple is continuously fighting with each other? It's because that has become their habit, the modus operandi of how they deal with each other. So we need to change that. We need to change the way we deal with each other. And again, how are we going to do that? Make those changes. This is my life partner. He's not my adversary. This person is not my enemy. And so we need to make, conscientiously make the effort to deal with that with kindness, with respect.
Yes, and as you mentioned, Mualima, that, avoid these accusations. You know, this can be really, you know, this blame game that we play and accusing, even if sometimes we don't have the entire proof of it, that can be very detrimental to the relationship. And just to clear your mind, I think the important point would be to clear your mind before you go into any argument or before you go into any discussion that you might think is going to be heated or something like that. So even throughout that argument, that don't just be waiting to reply or to respond in anger, but rather control yourself in that time as well by taking a breath or just keep in quiet for a moment so that you are able to assess what is going on. You know, asking yourself questions that in the situation that has happened, did they really intend to hurt me, or did they really want to create conflict? And just understanding this will come a long way in helping us resolve these conflicts in a better way. Instead of leading towards fighting, where now you start blaming one another, you accuse one another, you dig up the past, that also becomes part of the argument. And as you said, these things are habitual, so then it's going to be like that every time we go into a disagreement, or every time we go into an argument. So to the conflicts that have been sorted out, that have been ironed out, we don't need to dig up that afterwards as well. 13 minutes to the hour of 11 here on the marriage program. You can send through your messages on 072-786-1548. Inshallah, we will share it with Muallima, and Muallima will respond to the messages as well. Also, if you'd like to, you could call us in on 011-854-1548 or send us an SMS on 48855. We take a short break, and when we come back, Muallima, there's one or two messages that I will share with you that people are asking for some advice.
هذا أخي فوق النجوم فسلم هذا هو الحق المبين المسلم هذا أخي فوق النجوم فسلم هذا هو الحق المبين المسلم هذا أخي في الله يرجوك مصحف يمشي على قدرين لا يتهافى هذا أخي في الله يرجوك مصحف يمشي على قدرين لا يتأثم
هو كوكبي إن ضلت عيك الدنى هو مشعلي لو جل ليل أشهم بالخير يذكرني ولا يغتابني بالحب يلقني ولا يتجهم هو كوكبي إن ضلت عيك الدنى هو مشعلي.
Yes, this is the marriage program on Radio Islam International, and we are speaking to Muallima Abidapir. Muallima deals with a lot of marital cases, marital issues, and has helped many people either with counseling or through the workshops that she has conducted across South Africa. Muallima, just to share with you one of the messages that have come through, and someone seeking advice. They're saying that there were some issues that had taken place in my relationship, and even though I have forgiven the person or my spouse for it, I'm unable to move forward. You know that it keeps on coming back in my mind. Keeps on, it's basically still there. So they say that I have forgiven them, but I'm unable to move forward. And what should I do? You know, it's always easier said than done. So what practical advice? What can I do in order to move forward so that this relationship can stay intact?
This is actually a very common occurrence where something happens and yes, the person is willing to forgive and truly forgive and not to keep bringing up the past events. That is one of the main things, is that once you've forgiven, is never bring it up again. Try not to ever bring it up again. Then the other important thing, you know, to be able to move on, is for that person to come to terms with what has happened. You know, if you've really been hurt, yes, you might be able to forgive the person, but it might be that on a deeper emotional level, you have not come to terms, because we can tend to ask the question, why? Why did this happen? How could this person do this to me? Now, the more we ask the why, we're never going to get the answer. So we just have to go to a place of acceptance that, you know, whatever condition we are in is the condition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be in. And yes, when we go through pain and we go through hurt, it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be in that condition at that particular time. And we should see that not in a negative light, because whatever happens in our life happens for a very good reason. We don't always see that. But you know, the thing is that it's supposed to take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when something happens in our lives, and if the sister can really, you know, go back there and look at what has happened, that also correlate where they are now. You know, subhanAllah, many times you find things happening within a marriage, and you find that that event which might have been extremely painful and traumatic, but it has actually, in the end, strengthened the relationship. So, you know, for every negative, there's always a positive something that comes out of it. Sometimes, you know, I've seen this many times, is that even when there might have been an affair within a marriage, you know, one of the parties have had an affair and they reconcile and they come together, and that marriage is actually better and stronger because it gives both parties then a chance to reassess themselves, you know, where they are, what they're doing, what each one is doing wrong within the marriage. And so it gives them a chance to really, you know, reestablish that relationship and then to really work on that relationship. Mm-hmm. If they're committed, if they want to then, you know, continue with the relationship with the marriage and they're committed to it and both people, you know, putting in that effort. And so yes, for the sister is to come to terms with what has happened. Don't see it in a negative light. Don't keep questioning and asking and forget about all the unanswered questions that you might have. You know, what has happened in the past is in the past. Because what happens when we don't leave it in the past? Every time that we think about it and we bring it up for ourselves, it comes back with the same level of pain. And that is what prevents us from moving forward. So the thing is to go back there and to find acceptance that this has happened. And yes, I might not have the answers and I might not know why it happened, but Allah has placed us in this situation and I accept that, and I accept that I went through that hurt and whatever, and now I have to move beyond this. I must say that, you know, like we say that sometimes, you know, things are a blessing in disguise. If that thing has taken us closer, has taken you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if in that time of your grief and your hurt, you have turned really and truly and sincerely turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that thing has in a way been good for you in that it has, you know, helped you to strengthen your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, we make dua for our sisters out there and, you know, we ask that, you know, Move forward. You know, leave the past behind. Focus now on all the positives of your husband. Focus on all of the goodness that he has, on all of the positive aspects, and work towards building and making this relationship really, really good.
Looking towards the positives and keeping that in mind, that would help and assist in the relationship going forward. Malima, we've just got a few minutes left before the end of the program, but there is another message here saying that saying that my husband is really, you know, in the mornings there's a lot of pressure with the kids and so forth, and I find that he's taking out the anger on the children. So how should I, as a mother and as a wife as well, handle this sort of situation?
It's very difficult, you know, to deal with somebody who has anger issues. The thing is that, you know, the sister should try to manage it for the children, you know, to try and appease the children to say, you know what, let's look at what are the things that makes him angry, you know. So try and avoid those things, because sometimes there are things that will keep them off. So try to avoid those things that's going to bring out the anger. And then even if he is angry, you know, try, again, like I said, it's what in the mind, the thoughts that we have in our mind, but express to the kids that, you know what, you know, maybe, you know, father is under pressure, maybe, you know, he has a lot of things on his mind, so, you know, he loves you, it doesn't mean to be angry with you and whatever. Let's try and just accommodate him. Let's try and just do those things that are going to be pleasing to him. You know, shower him with love, go and greet him nicely, you know, give him a hug. You know, we spoke about the importance of touch. Go and give Baba a hug and tell him you love him, you know. It's difficult in those situations, but try and, you know, diffuse the situation. And then I think what is very important is for the sister to try and get to the root cause of the anger. Because, you know, when people have anger issues, it's really, many times, it's not about the wife, it's not about the children. It's other stresses and strains that they have. It might be issues that they brought from the, you know, we all come with baggage. And so it might be things that has happened in the past, and he's sitting with his anger, and then, you know, every time something happens within the home, sometimes it's a little bit less salt in the food, and that just triggers, you know, an outburst. But it's got nothing to do with the food. It's got nothing to do with the wife. But it's issues that, that he might have. And so it would be good to, you know, get some help for him, counseling, you know, when he's calm to speak about it and say, what really is the, you know, are the issues? What is it that really makes you so angry? You know, how can I help you in this situation? You know, we're in this together. I'm there to support you. What can we do together? You know, we can try and get to the bottom of this, because now, again, you're not, again, it's not accusing him or insulting him, but, you know, it has an effect on the children. And, you know, we want to have a peaceful home. We want to have, and the kids love you, and they want just a little bit of love and attention from you. You know, can we please, you know, work on this together, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan, Mu'allima, for joining us. Inshallah, we look forward to speaking to you in the coming weeks as well. We hope that the marriage workshops go off well, that Mu'allima will be conducting in the coming days as well.
Inshallah. Du'as, please. May Allah accept, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yes, and with that, we do come to the end of the marriage program on this Saturday morning. We hope that you have a great weekend further, enjoyable weekend, one that is filled with rest and ease and comfort, inshallah. From myself, Ibrahim Daya, and our studio operator, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.